unencumbering.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's just not like all up in my shit right here.
Oh, yeah.
Like I can
Oh, yeah. That's lean a totally different one, right? Yeah, yeah. It's much more lower profile. Yeah,
it's like Ooh. More like the Rogan style ones.
Got it.
Yeah.
You saved the nice one for yourself.
Well, look. Somebody's paying the bills over here.
Elon spoke at a rally in Germany, giving the left everything they need to conclude that he is indeed a Nazi. Now, I asked the new up-and-coming, viral isn't quite the right word, but big AI on the scene, DeepSeek, what it thinks about it, and this is what it had to say.
Wow.
Tell it likes blondes.
That checks out.
It's too good. It's such a good tune.
It's a great tune. It's a great tune.
I don't know what they're saying, but
I'm actually kind of sad Kyle's not here for this.
Yes, as a matter of fact, our friend Kyle is not with us today, but we thank you anyway for joining those of us that are left for another episode of Human Reaction. David Rand over here to my right, Bennett on the buttons, an empty seat in front of me. Kyle, we miss you. My name is Joe Sheehan. Thank you so much for being with us. While you're here, really quick, smash the like button and subscribe to the channel on YouTube. We really appreciate it. It definitely helps us with the algorithm. And you know what else might help us with the algorithm? A little thing you should know. Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt just announced today in her first press briefing that the White House press briefing room would be opening up a seat for the new media. And yes, of course, we have applied for a spot somehow. I don't exactly know how it's going to work. You're going to have to get a plane ticket out to DC at some point. But for a little sneak preview of the kind of hard-hitting journalism you can expect from us and the other new media members in this seat, we have the meme of the week from our Discord. Caroline Leavitt says, for our next question, we go to the new media seat. Pee pee poo poo butt fart 420 from X. What is your question? Thank you, Caroline. Does Barron Trump know that he is the Lisan al Gaib, or is the Mahdi too humble to admit that he is the Mahdi?
It's a Pepe frog.
It's a Pepe frog.
In a suit. With the QAnon cup.
And if you haven't read or seen Dune, you won't get this, but, you know, you should go.
Or internet culture in general.
Yeah.
Last week, we did talk a bit about Barron Trump and his meme magic.
Yes, as Kyle would say, his mimetic energy.
Yeah, mimetic energy.
And he has quite a lot of it. He has quite a lot of it. It'll be interesting to see who does get picked well. Anyway.
So leave a comment. It really helps us reach more people. And just to give you a little prompt on that, who is the bigger Nazi? Elon Musk or Pepe the Frog?
Ooh.
I don't know.
Or, how do you even decide?
Or AFD? Or what's a Nazi? Tell me. I'm still confused. I don't know. We use it all the time.
It's one of those words. It's one of those words that's just lost all meaning because it's been overused, overgeneralized, and applied to anyone and everyone that just goes against the left.
Especially someone who's interested in ideas, it's especially frustrating because I just see it used, overused so often that you're just like, I can't distinguish between what I know about it historically and philosophically and how people use it.
Yeah.
But of course, we're going to be talking about it a lot today. So the algorithm is going to destroy us. So please help us by sharing this episode. Because it's not doing us any favors. You started out. Yeah, that's probably not doing us. I bet they got a trigger for that.
Yeah.
We're going to start out with DeepSeek. It's disrupting American tech.
Yeah.
I mean, it dropped on the scene. NVIDIA stock market crashes. Right? Yep. They're the ones who sell the processors, the GPUs that create the compute, the resource for AI. And of course, the American stock market being what it is, over-financialized like it is, over-leveraged like it is, of course, it drops. The biggest market drop ever
of any stock, yeah.
Now, losing $600 billion in market cap in minutes, hours?
Oh, yeah.
Something like that?
It was shocking. And I think you're right. It does exemplify the fragility of the market right now. It's like, you know, we're still riding this high. In fact, it's even, you know, it's gone higher since the Trump bump and all that stuff. There seems to be a lot of optimism in the market and just in the world generally. Maybe not as much on the left, but the markets are certainly seeing it that way. And this was like a huge, you know, crash back to earth, especially in light of the press conference about Project Stargate and all this investment that the U.S. government was doing into AI. This is just like totally cut it off at the knees.
Well, it just goes to show you how much the stock market is not representative of the actual capital stock. It's a representative of gambling on meme energy,
right,
and where people think things are going,
right,
rather than the fundamentals of a business and whether or not that business is going to grow based upon good business practices or opportunities in the marketplace based upon a strategy. Has more to do with, I saw a title.
Yeah.
Dump stock, you know.
So I shouldn't invest in GameStop?
I mean, I think this is an example of, was it buy the rumor, sell the news?
Yeah.
Right? Buy the rumor that AI is changing the world. Sell the news that there's actually one out there that's 100x cheaper than all the stuff we're producing in America. Whoops.
Yeah. So the question is, what can it do? And I got this graph from MSNBC that kind of demonstrates its relative comparative strength in coding, quantitative reasoning, reasoning and knowledge, and scientific reasoning and knowledge, comparing DeepSeek, OpenAI, Anthropic, Meta, and Alibaba. I noticed that Grok isn't on there.
Grok is not on there. Is that because it's, well,
it's
not
because
as good?
It's owned by a Nazi. So
can't platform a Nazi on MSNBC. All right, this is MSN. I'm sorry.
I mean, just looking at this graph, what I'm seeing here, and especially for the audio only listeners, it's not the best in every category, and it's not even very marginally better than any of the other ones in every category. There's some that, like Alibaba, is not great on scientific reasoning and knowledge, but you know, we've got OpenAI that is exceeding it fairly substantially there. So what is the hubbub about? Is it about the fact that it's so much cheaper?
That's some of it, yeah. So it's 10 times.
10
more energy efficient, according to MarketWatch and some of the experts in the space.
And what is it that makes it so much more energy efficient?
Well, so it was already, it's methods for getting to what it gets to. It has different algorithms built into it so that it doesn't have to query as much of its database to make the inference that you need, that you're prompting it to give you. So it uses less at any given time. And it's trained on less because of the structure of appealing to various different subroutines for expertise in specific areas. So it detects area and then detects the subroutine area rather than querying the entirety of what it's trained on.
Oh.
Therefore, using a lot less data. That's the short way to do it. That might not be exactly accurate. Let me know, any computer science majors, if I'm way off base there. But that's my current understanding of it. Now, this is actually what we expect in new technologies. Most technologies, like the incandescent light bulb, gets steadily more efficient until you get to LEDs, which are 1,000 times more efficient than the first incandescent light bulbs. We see the same thing in like material science. You see the same thing in all these other things. Doing more with less is the market process of competition. And what's interesting here is the degree to which, you know, this is obviously driven by fear. China did it! Ah! and it has some hard limitations because it's Chinese. Like, you ask it about Tiananmen Square, it's like, that didn't happen.
What? Where's that?
And there was some crazy stuff about that you could find. And, you know, while it does say on this graph that its reasoning and knowledge are about equivalent, maybe even a little bit less than OpenAI, OpenAI has new models that are not out yet. So we still might be ahead, and this just might be FUD.
Right.
There was some interesting interviews with OpenAI developers last week, talking about their next generation, what they're doing, AI agents, and how it's more able to control things outside of just chatting with you. Additionally, it's reasoning specifically, like its ability to deduce conclusions and things like that are much stronger.
That's exactly what we need, is an AI that's capable of deduction and control. That's great. That sounds
great. Well, so
let
me give you an example of what I mean by that. It's more like if when in dialogue with you, it's less likely to it's more likely to infer what you actually mean and be able to dialogue more clearly, reasoning like a person would. So easier back and forth, where it's not repeating itself so much, for example, and just kind of querying the same and giving you the same thing over and over again. Additionally, I'm told that the, and I haven't tested it yet, so forgive me, I'm part-time. I don't have all the time in the world to prep this show, but I would have if I had more time, that this doesn't really capture to what degree DeepSeek is actually already there with those sorts of things. So is it ahead of us? Is it not? That's an open question, I think. But there's reason to be worried, especially on the efficiency. 10 times more energy efficiency is huge, especially because so much of our AI dialogue in the United States has been like, how are we going to fuel this thing? It's huge. It requires all this gigawatts of energy.
Yeah.
But it's open. It's an open source. This thing is more open source than OpenAI in America, to be clear. So it has a GitHub. You can download it, put it on your computer, mess around with it. It has a white paper to explain its methods for how it got so much more energy efficient. So now we're now going to be implementing these in all the other AIs. So all AI is now going to be 10 times more efficient using less energy because a Chinese investment firm.
People from China, they love me.
It started an AI company in order to compete with OpenAI.
Yeah. So is it your expectation that American companies, even the market leaders, would adopt this technology or some version of this technology, whether it be open source or not, once they implement it in order to make their products more energy efficient?
For sure. There's no reason not to, because energy efficiency means better returns. You're spending less money on energy, therefore you have better profit margins.
Now, this is maybe a question that the audience or some in the audience might be wondering here is, okay, so if it's open source, and there's a Chinese investment firm that put all this money into developing this AI model and spent, what, like $50 million, I think, to produce this, as opposed to like, you know, billion or
$6 million.
$6 million?
Rather than $100 million.
Okay, so there you go.
OpenAI's ChatGPT was developed on $100 million of initial funding. This was developed on six.
So what is their incentive if this is an open source code that anybody can just take? Where's their profit motive here in order to make their money back?
They're betting on the improvement of the overall industry. I'm sure because they're Chinese, they have an initial is it going to tell me the truth sort of thing. So this opens up that veil a little bit, creates more transparency, hopefully more trust in the product. And that's one of the things too, is there's not really a representative DeepSeek that I was able to find or anything like that. It's all people talking about it. You know what I mean? So they don't have, it's kind of unclear in that sense. It could be nefarious, but hard to see how it is, because if you decide to put it on your computer or host your own server with DeepSeek, you can change the code if you see something malicious in it.
I have a question. With it being open source, does that mean, like, would we be able to tell if it's taking data like everyone's saying that TikTok does?
So in order for it to work, it has to query databases in China. So to what degree it's feeding your information back to it, almost all AI uses its input as learning.
Yeah.
That's how it continues to learn. So it would definitely be returning your queries, I would assume. That said, you might be able to change that if you're a programmer. So you can release DeepSeek,
USA
for Linux that doesn't do that, I guess.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that would be a lot of people's concern, right? Is the data security or Who are we giving our data to, right? And would you rather it be a centralized, closed-source company in the United States or an open-source Chinese entity?
One that was like,
with a mysterious, non-representative group of people running it.
Yeah, right. One that was trying to create an AI cartel, according to recent memory, with the Biden administration basically giving OpenAI a monopoly, government-sponsored monopoly. One that was, had a few potential murder connected to it.
Maybe.
Like all these things. Or a Chinese one that can literally just know, okay, this guy is really interested in Warhammer 40K lore, or whatever you're querying about. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, what are they going to do with that?
Henry Cavill?
Henry Cavill's on there. I don't know.
It seems like different AI models are becoming better at specializing in certain things, right? Like, I just had a conversation about this prior to recording. You've got Claude, which is really good at writing well, writes great copy. Or you've got ChatGPT, which is really good at generating good code if you're trying to build an app or a website or something like that. Do you see DeepSeek finding a niche where it's particularly good at a certain thing? Obviously, it's not very good at, like, say, Chinese political history. but but like it'll have a lane eventually. Will it be a part of the ecosystem?
I suspect it won't make the founding fathers black.
I was going to say, to be fair, Google's AI also sucks at history. So.
They all have a weak spot, don't they?
No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's too early to tell. I mean, this is brand spanking new.
Yeah.
We don't really understand what it means yet.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of the sort of flash reaction and the fear around this, I mean, NVIDIA stock has recovered about 50% of what it lost yesterday. Is that right? So somewhere in there. So obviously, you know, NVIDIA is not a bad company because DeepSeek exists. Right.
Well, I mean, it was probably trained on NVIDIA stuff. So this is one of the interesting parts of this narrative is the Biden administration put in these export controls on NVIDIA to keep them from getting GPUs.
Interesting.
And then they trained this thing. Maybe there's really two theories there. One, that they were able to get around export controls and use, you know, shell companies and black markets to
ship
get
them to
what they needed.
Singapore and then import them to China or something.
Yeah. And there's some actually direct evidence of the Singapore question. The other part of that is, was that deprivation the cause of the need to train on less efficient GPUs, therefore use less energy, therefore actually create a more efficient model?
Interesting. Constraints.
Yeah. Unintended consequences, right? The unintended consequence here, ironically, of the export control could mean more efficient AI for everybody.
Huh.
Yeah. So happy.
How's that work, libertarian? Explain that.
Just because it's unintended doesn't mean it's necessarily bad.
That's true. That's
I mean, like, and it's also like that whole China equals unequivocal bad, like weird Cold War vibe that we get in the United States. When, you know, perhaps we should be a little less frantic about that conclusion.
Yeah. Well, and this could actually, like, DeepSeek could be a benefit to NVIDIA, right? Because it could encourage, like you said, individuals to set up their own, you know, AI. I want to call it a node because, like, this is reminding me so much of Bitcoin for some reason. Mm-hmm. But, like, to set up their own, you know, AI hardware and run it at home, like, individuals could be purchasing more NVIDIA chips in order to set those up, as well as maybe other startups that pop up around the world to leverage this software.
Yeah, far cheaper energy means more diversity within the AI sphere. And that's a good thing. That's the best thing we could do to keep a monopoly, which is the most easily controlled by government, which is most likely to use direct AI for the public. I mean, AI application to warfare is a different question, but for AI censorship to the public, that makes it much harder. That's where the real battle's at. And that's exactly, I mean, like this whole example of Chinese history is so important to have open AI in a competitive market for it so that we can see the bullshit and then fight against it.
And when you say open AI, you don't mean the company open AI.
Yeah, just like the concept of open software.
Speaking of open AI, though, if you're Sam Altman, how are you feeling right now?
Well, I imagine it's probably ennui, maybe. But I imagine, or just some like that sense of that there is a new competitor. But are they taking up major market share?
Yeah, that's a good question.
They download a lot of those apps, you know? I don't know.
Hopefully whoever built it has some security.
yeah. Well, it's already been hacked already.
Oh, yeah.
DeepSeek has been hacked.
Yeah, there was like a cyber attack on it.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd that go down?
I have no idea. CBS reported on it. It's like government? It's been reported, and we don't really have much information yet. That happened earlier today.
CBS reported on it.
Oh, I put NSA question mark.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That seems fishy.
So part of this too is that what people don't realize is this efficiency has been already happening. So even after the initial OpenAI ChatGPT 2 or whatever that dropped, that really took off, about 75% per year on like training efficiency, and then about 85% on inference efficiency per year. So, but keep in mind, this is 10 times that.
Wow.
So like this is a major escalation in that in a good way. So I to what degree people are freaking out, I think the Stargate and like the major investment there, obviously that just puts it all off the ground. Like, do we even need all this compute, extra compute?
Yeah.
That said, this is really only looking at the current status. Like, look at the difference. It's not that much different from OpenAI. The scale that we got to get to artificial general intelligence, where it can do all these things really super well, the place we got to get to super intelligence, of course, is orders of magnitude larger than our current capacity. Yeah. So those will still be probably required. And one more part of this. Do you remember the CHIPS Act?
Yeah.
Yeah. Guess what happened with the CHIPS Act?
What happened?
Okay, so Intel took The CHIPS Act just basically said, this was one of Biden's big, like, you know, we're doing a really good job type of things, right?
Good job, Joe.
let me bring this up. Actually, I didn't put my notes there. The CHIPS Act was a bill that spent all these like billions of dollars on new trying to create more chips in the United States outside of NVIDIA. A lot of money got given to Intel. They totally botch it. Like nothing has come out of the CHIPS Act.
Really?
Of course, right? No, it's like
why'd they give the money to Intel?
They're a chip maker. They're the biggest processor company in the world.
Well, but what about NVIDIA? Are they not an American company?
Well, the goal is to create more competition to NVIDIA.
Oh, I see. They don't want a monopoly in space. Is
that why Intel's stock has plummeted like over the last year?
Probably. Well, they also lost their CEO. I mean, they just screwed the pooch.
Wow.
So like the American efforts in this space to cartelize and to like monopolize this area has just been so anemic and unable to really produce anything of value.
Yeah, it's down about 55% over the last year.
Right. Oof. And so like our vision of China is as if they are centrally planning everything, but that's not really the story of DeepSeek as I understand it. It was mostly a for-profit, open source effort financed by private capital in China. Hmm. Now, do they have a handler for the Communist Party? Of course they do, but so does OpenAI with the CIA, I guarantee you.
Oh, for sure.
So what's the difference here? Really, at the end of the day.
It's just a matter of which government has its hands in which company, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting. I noticed on X.
Oh, sorry. I got it. It was billions. Intel received $7.86 billion in grants and $11 billion in loans from the CHIPS Act.
And produced nothing.
Yeah. And then they laid off 15,000 employees and the CEO resigned in 2020.
Yeah, I'd like to add they're down about 70% over the last 5 years.
Yeah. Ooh.
And so like the
not
whole,
crushing it.
The well, whole goal is here is to create a chips industry that the U.S. could own even more so. And the goal was to create an AI industry that they could easily regulate by cartelizing it.
Right. I just saw on X today, before we started recording, that Trump had suggested tariffs on Taiwan to incentivize more chips being made in the United States. Tariffs on chips made in Taiwan specifically. And other interesting news around this, I also saw that about, I think it was last week, Nancy Pelosi sold about $1.3 million of NVIDIA stock.
Whoa.
Yeah. Apparently she also bought some call options, but you know,
Don't be suspicious.
She probably made off of some good money, even with the 18%
downturn.
The call options on NVIDIA is insane.
I haven't looked.
That's blasphemy.
So I don't know. I don't know how to interpret this stuff yet. It's just not clear to me how this is developing.
Yeah.
Could that mean trouble in Taiwan? If Trump is using that stick, what's the carrot? Right? I mean, like, if there's responding tariffs on chips from Taiwan, that would be disastrous for American AI. You know, so like, what is the goal here? You know, like, it's always hard to tell with that guy because, the 3D hungry hippos.
it's not 3D chess. It's
you got to watch what he does, not what he says. You know, as usual. So
sure.
It's always like I always try to restrain any kind of commentary until I really understand what he's doing rather than just what he's saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Very fair. Very fair.
All right. So I do want to talk about Elon Musk and AFD, unless that's it for DeepSeek. DeepSeek.
DeepSeek. It's like the one in your laundry room.
Yeah.
DeepSeek. Very deep.
Yeah.
That was bad.
I didn't say deep sync. All right, I just had to follow up. Let's see what he's leaving me here for improv to work with. On to Elon Musk and AFD. The new small mustache man has rejoined his rightful place in the world, in Germany.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to get into this, but I want to talk about why it matters up front. And I want to note something that we kind of talked about in our immigration kind of monologue that we did, that there's this international phenomena, a push-pull. And the mental model I want to advance here a little bit is that politics is Newtonian. Every push creates a back push. Every down push creates an up push. So 5 years ago, Britain was under conservative leadership with Boris Johnson after Brexit. Under that leadership, they decided to push out a new green agenda. Right. UK elected, got out of the UK, of the EU, and then elected a conservative government, and then had that conservative government start implementing the same bullshit that the EU is doing. Right. They failed to secure new trade deals after Brexit, like enough to really make up for losing the free trade zone in the EU, the degree to which it is a free trade zone. Failed to address migrant issues, failed to deregulate as promised, and then Labour swept into Parliament. Now, the Reform UK is surging like crazy with the return of Nigel Farage. The Conservative CDU, which is Angela Merkel's party in Germany, they switched away from nuclear power in 2011. She was a chancellor forever, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like 17 years or something like that. But in this latter half of the of her time, you know, they created the current German migrant crisis with millions of migrants coming into Germany. That created a left-wing push that what is now called the Stoplight Coalition. It's made up of three different liberal groups that are, make up the coalition that currently runs Germany. That government just fell apart. That's what's causing elections that are happening right now in Germany. But even just to note, like the last few years, even after the destruction of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, cutting off all that natural gas, even after Russia turned off the natural gas because of, you know, the war in Ukraine.
Sure.
They still closed down a nuclear power plant.
Smart.
That's how radical these people are.
That's wild.
On this stuff. Like, and it's still so weird to close down nuclear power after that point. Much less because for climate purposes, right?
Right.
Volkswagen had to close down a plant. And we're talking real economic crisis in Germany right now.
Yeah.
Same pattern overlays in the United States. Biden came in opposing Trump on a return to normal. Then he passes a massive infrastructure bill that is really a Green New Deal, according to John Kerry and according to Joe Biden.
Green New Scam, that's what I call it.
Exactly. He provoked a war in Ukraine after this lurch to the left under the guise of a moderate Democrat. Now Donald Trump sweeps America, right? This pattern is playing over and over.
It's just left, right. It's just a pendulum swinging back and forth.
Yeah, and this, like, that's the Newtonianness of it. Every push has an equal and opposite back push, especially after, you know, what is functionally in many of these countries, functionally on both parties, whatever you're at in the, any party of this, any part of the political spectrum, a consensus, a progressive consensus since the 30s till today, really. I mean, the 1930s till today, well, 40s maybe, that has been overwhelming. I mean, like, keep in mind, until 1994, there was not a single time Democrats or Republicans had the House, the Senate, and the presidency. And that was just them actually taking both chambers of Congress. It wasn't until Bush that they had all three.
Wow.
Think about that. So that's how dominant they were.
Yeah.
Now we have this pushback that is very delayed, very bottom-up, very different, right?
Yeah. It doesn't seem the same at all. I mean, granted, I was young during the Bush years. But it's also different from what you established in the UK, in Britain with Boris Johnson. Wow. Boris Johnson just sort of doing the same, creating the same policies as his predecessors, as the EU.
Right. And it's really and just imagine if, you know, we had elected another Bush in that time. That's how it would probably feel.
Yeah.
Where it's pretty much the same policies as the left, just with a conservative spin on it.
Yeah.
So what's happening now, as I see it, is that in the UK and with this reform, right, and the AfD, the Alternative for Deutschland Party, an actual choice is starting to arise in these countries, and that is causing a lot of anxiety. And so Germany has election this month, and the UK is later this year. And this like force is now, like, the returning force is now pushing back on it, and Elon Musk stepped into it. So what I want to dive into is kind of how the left is interpreting this phenomena, and I just wanted to enter into that with that. Why this matters, because I think out of this we will tease important lessons about how to think about the global, how much this is a global phenomena, like wokeism, global phenomena, the green stuff, global phenomena,
immigration.
And now the returning push is also a global phenomena. So even if you don't realize it, you might think you have anything in common with somebody from Germany. They're complaining about the exact same things, right? And it's bizarre to watch. And the way that the media talks about them is also exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
So here's, I got Breaking Points here with Crystal Ball. Sorry, we're talking about her again, guys, but
David's punching bag.
Yeah. This is, she decided to really step in on this one.
like, after he did the thing, he has never denied that he was trying to, like, in a trollish way, do this wink, wink, nod, nod thing.
He said he was throwing his heart to the crowd.
Girl.
It was the next line of his speech. It would be extraordinary.
He did it twice, Emily. He did it twice.
I mean, I think it would be extraordinarily stupid for a man with billions and billions and billions of dollars on the line to go out there and do a brazen Nazi
stuff. He does a lot of brazen stuff.
So that's an interpretation of the
girl.
My heart goes out to you thing.
Girl.
It's exactly the opposite vibe that we do. We're like a bunch of dudes telling dick jokes.
Bruh.
Come on.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So she earnestly thinks that Elon is a wink, wink, nod, nod.
How recent was this clip?
That was today. Yeah. So we're going to get into the AFD component of this, but I want to show you, like, it's not that she's alone in this. Like, this is a refrain on the left right now. Chink Uyghur making the same case on Piers Morgan.
Ah.
Yeah, but Cenk, just to be clear, you don't actually think he's a Nazi, do you? So how can you make a Nazi salute if you're not actually a Nazi and, in fact, absolutely hate everything they stand for? That's not a Nazi salute. It's a awkward thing that he did to say, my heart to you, that then gets deliberately misinterpreted as a Nazi salute by people who keep wanting to call everyone on the right a Nazi.
No. So Elon Musk is trolling. So this is a classic right-wing maneuver. It's to get attention. And he knows that if he does a Nazi salute, but he says, oh, but I touched my heart. And I can't believe they're calling me a Nazi. I'm the victim. The left wing is coming after me just because I did the most obvious Nazi salute of all time. Now, the left is angry at me because I'm not calling him a Nazi. I think he's trolling. I think he's doing it for attention.
Yeah. So this is a narrative they're running all week. And then Elon goes on to a live stream into the AFD party's, like, big rally that they're having to the election. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. So just think about that for a minute. I mean, the griftiness of that claim there of, especially given all of the video we've now seen of every politician under the sun from the left and the right doing the same I love you type look.
I was going to say, do we need to pull up a compilation of all of the leftist leaders doing the exact same motion?
Our audience is on the internet enough. They know that's bullshit.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
This is just one of those things. Like, they've been doing this. So then when they see him go on in Germany to AFD, which is, if you look at the Wikipedia page, is obviously a Nazi party.
Oh, well, according to Wikipedia, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And we have this reaction to Wikipedia, but they're like, oh, it's a neutral source. I mean, come on.
Obviously.
If you go on Britannica, guess what it says about their about what their platform is?
What?
It doesn't tell you anything about their platform. It kind of vaguely describes it and then says that they're Nazis, like that they have national socialist connections. So we're gonna dive into it. We're gonna separate it. But I just want to let her make the case for herself, because I don't want to be seen as not being fair to Crystal.
He does a lot of brazen stuff. He does a lot of stuff that doesn't exactly make sense.
Here's the thing. So in addition to the AFD thing we're about to show you, which I think bolsters my side of the case here, any reservation I had about whether this was intentional was eliminated when, first of all, he's posting on Twitter about how much a troll he is. And he was sharing that
meme
of, like, the goose with, like, the thing, like, there. And it's like, the thing I'm not supposed to do, you know, that. And then he's doing that thing he's not supposed to do. And it's like, you knew what you were doing.
All right. So we're going to get into a minute. I was supposed to jump ahead there. But I have to note the humorlessness of these things. Like, they think, like, there's something morally wrong with trolling, like with being funny on the internet. What is trolling? What is it?
I mean,
it doesn't mean you're an actual Nazi if you're doing that. It means it's necessarily telling a joke.
You're doing it to provoke a reaction, which is obviously working.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I don't think he did that as a Nazi salute.
No, I don't think so either.
Right? Like, and that doesn't mean, just because he says things to get a reaction in other places, it doesn't mean he did that here. That's a non sequitur.
Right. A not sequitur?
Non sequitur. It does not follow.
I know.
All right, we'll go.
Come on.
You 100% knew what you were doing. And, you know, to me, whether it's a quote unquote troll or whether it's like done in earnest, given his politics and his support for the furthest right, most reactionary forces in Europe in particular, I'm not sure that it really makes all that much of a difference. But in any case, he decided to speak. Again, I mean, this is the thing that a troll would do. Fresh off of this Heil Hitler controversy,
Germany
decides to go and speak far right reactionary Nazi AfD party in Germany. Okay, so the scene of the crime, so to speak.
Go off, Queen.
All right. So, when is something a racial stereotype?
I don't know.
When it's true.
What is it? You know, like, especially if you're operating on the, is it okay to just assume because you're German and not the approved party that you're a Nazi? Like, are we encroaching on that? And we just don't see it because they're Germans? Because we don't have any capacity for sympathy for Germans?
Look, I mean, I think you're pointing to something that's very valid that we see the left do rather often. I mean, what about the statements that were made around, you know, the immigrants? Who are we going to have cutting our lawns? Who are we going to have picking our fruit? It's like, whoa. What? Like, are you saying that those are the only jobs that immigrants can have in this country? That was from the left. This is a common theme amongst people like Crystal Ball.
Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of things there, but you're exactly right. And that's this ability to engage in race-baiting politics without paying any of the consequences of that. And especially gross in this case, because you have a German public that feels guilt over something that their ancestors did, when the idea of guilt over something your ancestors did is anathema to the American view of the dignity and worthiness of every individual to decide their own future and fate.
True.
It's like, it's completely un-American. It's terrible.
Yes,
right?
But again, the left revels in that.
Exactly.
I mean, look at the white guilt and reparations and all that stuff around slavery and you know, that this is the mode that they operate in.
Exactly. Yeah. Completely. So I wanted to actually get into the actual comments because on directly from the source rather than playing what she's about to play, because they put like music behind it and it makes it seem really, it's really sketchy, right? It's like a typical hypnotism thing where you put like sketchy music behind
it. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Propos.
In this case, here's music-free version of it.
To say that I'm very excited for the AfD, and I think you're really the best hope for Germany. I think something that is just very important is that people take pride in Germany and being German. This is very important. It's okay to be proud to be German. This is a very important principle, and it's okay. It's good to be proud of German culture, German values, and not to lose that in some sort of multiculturalism that dilutes everything. You know, I think we want to have unique cultures in the world. We want to have people that have, you know, we don't want everything to be the same everywhere where it's just one big sort of soup. You know, we want to have something where you go to different countries and you experience a different culture and it is unique and special and good that the German government takes actions to protect its citizens and make sure that it seeks the health and well-being of the German people. The German people are really an ancient nation, goes back thousands of years. You should read Julius Caesar's account of first encountering the German tribes in the Gaulic campaigns. He was like, wow, very impressive. they very powerful warriors. I think there's like, frankly, too much of a focus on past guilt, and we need to move beyond that. Children should not be guilty of the sins of their parents, or even let alone their parents, their great grandparents, maybe even. And you should be optimistic and excited about a future for Germany. And that's really my message: is be optimistic, excited, and preserve German culture, and protect the German people. And you know, and there's some other things that I think would be very helpful.
Really, really quick.
Yeah,
just for the sake of the media manipulation techniques and and exposing that, can we play the clip that they play, at least just a little piece of it with the music behind it?
Sure.
Because I'd like to just see what the contrast is like with and without.
Yeah, let's see here.
and feel guilty.
For the IFT, and I think you are really the best hope for Germany. I think something that is just very important is that people take pride in Germany and being German. This is very important. It's okay to be proud to be German. This is a very important principle. It's okay.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
It makes you feel a different way about it, doesn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, doesn't it? It's not a speech anymore. It's like
ominous.
Something bad's going on.
Yeah.
Really bad.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so to the content of the speech, how are you interpreting that appearance?
Well, okay, so, I mean, to me, he gets into the actual foreign policy, self-determination, like a wealthy, abundant future for Germans where they have jobs and are able to contribute. There's a major problem right now in Germany when it comes to manufacturing jobs. Unemployment's about 5%. That's not the worst, right? That's not a bad unemployment rate. But for the migrant population, it's like 15 to 20%. There's a big problem there with that. Additionally, the inflation pressures are very real in Germany. Their tax rates are enormous, 50% for your average working person.
Wow.
50%, half the year you're working for the state. Yeah. With declining social services quality and everything else going on there. So like, yeah. So like, I think the moral and ethical case is really important too. Should you be guilty based upon the crimes of your forefathers? To what degree should we? So Crystal has her opinion on it. Do you want to hear that?
I do.
Yeah.
Be proud of German culture. Don't feel guilty about the past. And I mean, whether you want to call it guilt or not, I think it is appropriate to like, the whole thing is you never want something like that to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So to carry some emotion around that and to keep fresh the lessons and the warnings of the past, which should be lessons and warnings that all of humanity takes in, because there's nothing particularly distinct about the German people versus any other people. We're all made of the same, you know, good and evil inclinations and tendencies. But yeah, I think we should carry that forward. And obviously these are talking points that the AfD wants to hear, part and parcel of their sort of like, you know, their right wing ideological positioning in Germany. But again, you know, he wanted to push the envelope coming off of the Heil Hitler controversy and wanted to continue to kind of flirt with this. And, you know, I think does it quite quite successfully here.
So she knows better what's in his mind than he does. He doesn't actually mean it's bad to carry around racial guilt forever, especially when it undermines your confidence and ability to build a better future for your children. They're not saying, and AfD doesn't believe this, and I don't think anyone, the current chancellor candidate isn't saying this. No one's saying this other than the left is saying that the only thing you can do as a German is feel bad forever, because otherwise you're going to forget, because you're too dumb to learn lessons from the past without feeling guilt. Is she responsible for Hiroshima?
Yep.
Or Nagasaki?
Mm. By her logic, yes.
I don't think so. I think we can learn the lesson of nuking civilians without having to carry around to I'm guilty and so are my children for this crime.
Right.
That's it, like, what is the need here to feel like you're bad? That's guilt is a neurotic emotion, right? It's not learning lessons. One is intellectual, the other is emotional. One is a motivational state that demotivates you and puts you in the position of you're garbage. And the other one is I'm a moral person and understand history and apply those lessons to the current moment.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I think you perfectly exemplified. One is emotional, one is rational. And again, you know, just to highlight the fact that like this is the common mode for the left, it's a positioning of victimhood mentality, which mm-hmm. is pervasive in this culture in America and in the world.
Yeah.
And it's not productive. It's not motivating. Like you say, it's pretty regressive, I would say. You know, it's backward looking instead of forward looking, which is ironic given that these are people with supposedly progressive values.
Exactly. And they actually claim that this is all reactionary, like the AfD's reactionary, when actually what they're doing is they're framing it in this framework that makes it clear that they're saying that the past doesn't doesn't determine our future, but you are. You're the reactionary. You're the one saying we're locked into our fate as forever being evil because we're white,
right?
Or Germans or Americans or whatever. And that's the degree. And I hate this, the blame America first crowd. Like that's like a dumb way to think about foreign policy and the perspectives of the non-interventionists and the pro-peace people.
Yeah.
But it embraces that stupid framework of thinking of these in the simplest, ridiculous terms.
Yeah.
When you have to have zero empathy for the German people at this point.
For sure.
To go by like, no, you should continue feeling guilt.
Oh, for sure. You should continue shutting down your power plants and closing your factories and live in squalor forever.
Yeah.
Because you're bad.
Which is exactly what led to the rising of Nazi party.
Wow.
Whoa.
Really bringing it back.
Can't treat them like people. They're the only things we're allowed to kill. Zombies and Nazis.
Yep.
Right.
German Nazis, right?
Every video game ever made.
Yeah. Aliens. Yeah.
Aliens too.
Zombies and Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that shows you something about our culture, the way we think about those people. That's why you can't question Winston Churchill. You can't. That's why Martyr Maid is when all these episodes he's working on right now
it's gonna
blow minds, man.
Yeah, for sure. I had a thought on this, kind of escaped me. Never mind.
No, that's fine. So I wanted to do a little bit on Alice Weidel, the lead chancellor, as a spokesperson for AFD, because that's one of the things that frustrates me here is they don't actually ever let AFD talk for themselves, just like DeepSync. They never actually get anything from the source.
For the AFD, what can Germany, what would the world expect from a Chancellor Weidel? What would be your top priorities?
Well, actually, I would like to correct something. I don't want to be impolite, but you just labeled our party as right wing, which is not correct in my perspective. We are a libertarian conservative party in Germany. So we perceive ourselves standing in the middle and actually wanting to introduce sane and serious policies. Because we see that this country is in need of real reforms. Let's have a look at Germany right now, where it stands. After 20 years, after 16 years of Angela Merkel, and after 3 years of the traffic light coalition, actually funny name, right, isn't it? Germany is not in a very good state. We have the highest energy prices worldwide. We are in the middle of a migration crisis. Oops. We got a million influx of immigrants, illegals, we don't know. Germany actually has no borders, no border control, nothing. So we have criminal rates skyrocketing. And taxes are too high, so a middle-class taxpayers earning, let's say, 50,000 euros a year has to pay over half. So I think there is a lot of room of real policy making, lowering taxes,
okay. And
then having also a serious energy policy. Germany is the only country having switched off nuclear power plants. So this country government has imposed a obnoxious policy making, having a industrial country like Germany just being supported. Sorry, it's very important to have a status quo here. To have an industrial country like Germany just like being dependent on solar and wind power. And
I'm only calling solar.
Solar.
It just sounds so exotic. it came back to me what I was going to address earlier, which is that making these arguments purely about marginalizing these people, A only emboldens them, mm-hmm. right? Like you only get more pushback from that. And secondly, it proves to anyone who's watching with any sort of an objective perspective that you are unwilling or incapable or both of engaging with the real substantive ideas of these philosophies in good faith. Mm. And I don't think that works. I mean, we just saw a complete rebuke of that in the United States.
Yes.
And the media spent, you know, the couple of weeks after the election trying to analyze what they did wrong. And there were some good takes and there were some really, really bad takes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because Hispanics are racist against black people.
That's one of the bad ones.
Blacks don't like women, I guess. Oh, right, right. Like that. Yep.
But now here we are returning to that.
Right.
Again, as soon as Trump is in office, forget about all the good commentary we had on where we might have failed, where we might have forgotten the working person, the average American in this country. Mm-hmm. We're right back to calling everyone on the right a Nazi, and it's not going to work. It didn't work last time. It won't work now. Right. And Trump's approval ratings are now at record highs.
Right. And AFD is sweeping. They're doing really, really good, especially as a brand new party, relatively speaking, compared to the CDU and other parties.
You're talking about they've been around since like the 1930s.
Bennett over here with the zingers.
Damn, not cool, man.
I'm kidding. That's basically what everyone else is saying.
So
certainly it, crystal ball's position.
And yeah. I think the you're absolutely right. And it's really touching the core of the globalist project that creates this response. And they have to have this environment where you can't know anything in order to maintain that. You have to hide all the things and create a total information control. That's what the CIC actually calls it. And note that the CIC was created in response to Donald Trump, an election in Indonesia, and Brexit.
Yep.
Guess what AFD's point of view is on Brexit?
Germexit?
Yeah, they want Dexit.
Dexit. Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, they don't call it Germany.
I just Americanized it.
It's all right. You're Irish. I'll give you a pass.
How dare you?
Sorry to all my German friends and family.
This is why it elicits that response is because they want to pull out of the EU.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And it is, make no mistake. The reason why your Wikipedia page gives you nothing, the reason why Britannica gives you nothing, the reason why if you search it up, you'll see they call themselves libertarian, but they're really secret Nazis underneath everything else is because of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I really think that. I mean, and that's a bit conspiratorial. No, we actually have evidence of the CIC. We know it exists. We know what the tactics are. We understand it now. We have the documents to do the Alex Jones thing.
Yes.
To suggest that this is a real thing.
Yes. And I think you bring up a great point with Alex Jones. You know, the alternative media no longer allows the CIC to keep the cat in the bag on this stuff. You don't need Wikipedia or Britannica to learn what the AFD is actually about. You can go find her appearance on a podcast, or you can go watch the entirety of Elon Musk's appearance at this rally and know exactly what he said and the spirit with which he said it and the response from the audience and understand the energy outside of the very, very narrow scope of the mainstream legacy press.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, what was the thing Elon was facing from the EU that basically would have like...
Digital Services Act.
So does it kind of make sense for him to align with the AFD?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Especially on the free speech issue. So better on speech and digital social media speech. Better on regulations. In an interview that I listened between Ms. Vidal and Elon, he mentioned when he's building a gigafactory outside of Berlin, that in order to fulfill the paperwork, it had to be 25,000 pages printed, physical pages.
What the fuck?
Duplicates of that. So they literally had to fill a truck full of paperwork to deliver it to the government.
Bro, I thought they were trying to be green and shit.
Yeah, exactly. And he was like, there's no way to digitize this. I'm like, nope. Nope.
Incredible.
So just, I mean, imagine the scale of that. I mean, this is a heavily controlled economy in many ways. And traditionally, to focus on industrial policy so that you could be an industrial giant that has just cratered and obviously became ossified because of that cartelization and all those policies that have what any person fluent in economics would quickly say, oh, this isn't going to keep you from being innovative. And now they're declining.
Yeah.
They have a huge problem. So what are they doing? People in the Eastern Bloc areas, the areas that used to be controlled by the commies, are turning to the libertarians and saying, do you got any ideas? And they got a couple, and they're getting support for it. And now they're called Nazis for that. Now they're... Okay, so what is the basis of that? So a couple of the things. It's always associations, and there's some statistical studies, and there's re-immigration. So I want to attach re-immigration first. So re-immigration is kind of their branding for what we would call getting rid of immigrants.
Deportation.
Right? Deportation. So, and it's voluntary or forced of immigrants. And some of these, of course, starting with illegal immigrants, but going as far as non-naturalized, non-integrated immigrants that are legal. They call it non-assimilated. They also, another part of that is they want more immigration via instituting a birthright citizenship program similar to Israel. That is one of the things that they use as an example of them being Nazis. Doing the same program as Israel. Think about that.
What the fuck?
Yeah, right. Additionally, who's really the ones that are most anti-Semitic in Germany? The Germans or the large Muslim population?
Uh-huh.
And in fact, she actually testifies that, you know, that a lot of her Jewish friends in Germany to this day are much more intimidated by the pro-Palestine marches than they are by anything else.
I imagine.
Obviously more so than the AfD, who want to deregulate and create free speech on the internet again.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty fascist to me.
So I want to go into a little bit more of like the claim that there's some basis for that. So according to a study, Holocaust denial in Germany is about 2%. Right. That's interesting because it might be higher than that because it is illegal to be a Holocaust denier in Germany. So yeah, if you call them up and you're like, hey, do you deny the Holocaust?
Yeah, are they doing phone surveys?
Yeah, right. But AfD is reportedly 15%. Right. So that's this study claimed that. And you can find that on Wikipedia. It's the leading thing to make their case.
Of course. I mean, do we know anything about the methodology?
I didn't get that far.
Okay.
Once again, if you're a supporting member and so we get enough supporting members, I can do this professionally and then I can give you more information.
Yeah.
This is all I got. And another part of that case is 10 AfD Bundestag members were found to have participated in a closed Facebook group called Patriots, which, among other things, had anti-Semitic, racist, and pro-Nazi and conspiratorial posts were widespread, according to Wikipedia. I looked at some of these, and most of them were jokes and memes.
I imagine so.
Insensitively so. It kind of looked like a bro texting group. Like, you know,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, that doesn't exist.
No, absolutely not. David, what the fuck?
You know, Andreessen's already outed us on this. Okay, so dudes will get together with other dudes on secure messaging apps like Signal, but these guys were dumb enough to do on Facebook, and especially as members of a parliament, and we're putting memes on there, some of them being very spicy. Now, is that insensitive? Yes. Is there comments sometimes by some Bundestag member that encroach on that and are insensitive and go over the line? Yeah, sure. But it's like you take something that has this huge base of population support and you define it by a very minority position within that group.
Yeah.
To be clear, Democrats, that means that Crystal Ball, because she is a Democrat and a leftist, has to own all the Dixiecrat positions forever.
Mm.
Right. They, mm-hmm. She has to own the racist shit that Black Lives Matter was saying not too long ago, much less the very racist stuff they were saying, the very pro-Palestine, like scary, like pro-Hamas stuff that they were saying.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because, you know, as a member of a collective, you don't have an individual viewpoint or opinion. You can't.
Yeah, right.
You can't.
Well, and this is a common, and in philosophy, it's called a composition fallacy, right? You define the whole by a characteristic of a minority of the whole. And the whole is different than the characteristic of the minority of the whole. Every political party has crazies in it. So in the United States, we've been dealing with this forever, right? You'll have some crazy racist pastors be like, you should vote for George Bush. And people are like, that means George Bush is a racist. The same thing is happening right now in Reform UK, trying to associate any talk of, who's the guy? He did the documentary. He's Muslim rape games. He's kind of early mover on that. Who am I thinking of?
Shoot.
Robbie?
That's what I thought it was. Tommy Robinson.
Tommy Robinson. Yes. Sorry, Elon. Or sorry. Bennett.
It's the nicest thing you've ever said to her.
I think he just called me a Nazi.
It's been a long weekend. So yeah, exactly. Tommy Robinson. So where the media will go to them and be like, do you denounce the terrible criminal that is Tommy Robinson? Now, when Americans see this, and like Tim Pool had a good defense of this, is that Americans see this, they see Lawfare when they see Tommy Robinson. They're like, this looks like a guy persecuted by the system as much as it, but I can't really tease apart what's legitimate and not legitimate, so I'm going to hear him out. Probably Elon has the same perspective, but an early mover on this Muslim rape game problem in the UK and one of the popularizers of this across the globe is a real problem that is now forcing the government to actually take it somewhat seriously.
Yeah.
So the, you know, we have this like composition, like media game that they do to manipulate the public to say, hey, there's someone somewhat associated with you who believes bad things. Do you believe that bad thing? Do you believe that bad thing? Are you going to denounce them?
Right. It's what they did to Trump at the, you know, with the Charlottesville hoax. Right?
And I was just going to say, even if you do denounce them, they're still going to keep asking, and like, because they still do it with Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
Until they get you in a soundbite where they can say, look, see.
Yeah. When did you stop beating your wife? You can't answer that question without looking like a bad person, right? So it's obviously a trap.
What if you say, I don't beat my wife?
Wait, was it? But that's...
What if you say, I don't have a wife? What are you talking about?
if you don't have a wife, then you get out of it. But everyone else, you're in trouble right at that
boys,
point.
Boys, single boys out there, you get out of that one for free.
Bachelor's got a privilege on that one. Nice. So are they libertarian is one of the other questions I imagine our audience is actually wondering about, right? Kind of. I think they're more libertarian than the CDU, but way less libertarian than any libertarian in the United States, right? So they're like European version. So we got to be generous with how they define that. And when she says conservative libertarian, I just think she really means that. They have a lot of, like, for example, they're opposed to the private use of cannabis, while the TLC generally supports it.
Yeah. Right?
That's the only position. The only position which I could find the Traffic Light Coalition being more classically liberal or libertarian than the CDU or than AFD.
So, okay, gotcha.
So the case is that, a few members were accused of attending a Nazi rally back in 2010.
A few members. How large is this party?
It's huge now. Like when you count voters,
we're talking
joining the party.
Hundreds of thousands, millions.
Yeah, we're now supporting it. Yeah.
Was it like a real Nazi rally, or was it like
neo-Nazi.
Trump MSG?
And that I wasn't able to do the research on it, but I there was pictures and dudes with face tattoos with swastikas and shit.
Okay, yeah, real one.
Yeah, but you never know, right? It could be a media manipulation too. I don't know if that picture was actually from that rally.
Right.
That's a classic, you know, tactic we've seen in the States over and over again.
Or yeah, you get a, you know, fringe group of guys to huddle around a legacy press photographer for a photo op, mm-hmm. who aren't actually part of the event. They're there to be illustrative of all of the degenerates in the audience.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to play Who's the Real Nazis now? The TLC or AFD?
Welcome to our new game show. Who's a Nazi and who's Nazi?
Perfect. Yeah. So,
okay, how do we play?
Yeah. So I got the questions here on the notes. If you want to get into it, and I'll answer the questions as we go.
Okay. Am I asking you the questions?
Yeah. You can ask me the questions, so that way I can bounce back and forth.
The Traffic Light Coalition is now cracking down on immigration.
Yeah. So who's the Nazi? The guys who said immigration is a problem, forcing the mainstream party to, you know, actually do something about immigration for the very first time in forever? Or who's the Nazi here? Now TLC is cracking down on immigration. Are they Nazis for it now? Do they hate Muslims? Like, if that's the biggest thing that they...
I'm sorry. You said TLC, and I just immediately thought of the band.
Yeah, no, chasing waterfalls. Traffic Light Coalition. It's just too many words to say, but a group of three liberal parties.
Great.
The current government is now cracking down on illegal immigration for the first time in two decades, thanks to this pressure from AFD. They are taking the... Now, it's the same thing in the UK. Reform UK is putting a lot of pressure about this Muslim rape game story that is going viral. There are other actors besides them and Tommy Robinson. Yes, I know that. But because of the new challenge from them, the actual liberal government, Labor, starting to take it actually seriously and try to do something about it. So are they? They're taking their position now. So does that make it a Nazi position? Would you take it? It's like calling Donald Trump a Nazi all day, and then he's sitting down next to Barack Obama, and they're like fist pounding each other. And, you know,
true.
It's like,
okay, who is in favor of banning parties they disagree with?
The current government is trying to ban AFD. That's a real story from only a couple months ago.
Ooh, this is a good one. What about compulsory vaccines?
The current government's in support of it. Guess who's opposed to it?
AFD.
Compulsory vaccines. Like, literally Nazi experimentation on an unwilling public.
Yikes.
What are we talking about?
Or should I say the third yikes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, and I want to note, too, in order to get this information, I had to
You're like 0 for 4.
What's that? What's that WNBA player's name?
Angel Reese.
Angel Reese.
In order to get the information to actually confirm where they're at on these issues, I had to move my VPN to Germany, get into German like language, translate a bunch of stuff, and then do a bunch of work to finally find a PDF, download the PDF, turn it into a Word document, translate in Google, turn it back into a Word document so I could actually read it.
Members, viewers, I just want you to know, this is the kind of journalism you're supporting by supporting this show. This is what it takes.
It was okay? Not easy, dude.
This is not the shit Crystal fucking Ball is doing. Okay? All right, next one.
Girl.
What about... Girl. Girl, what about euthanasia?
Bruh. The only political party that has any skepticism of euthanasia that I was able to find is the AFD.
Really?
Yeah. Everyone else is like, the government will kill you if you want to die because we respect your bodily autonomy.
Oh my God.
Think about it.
Oh boy. It's fucked up. Okay. What about censorship?
Censorship? AFD is the only one with an anti-censorship platform.
Wow. What about school choice and indoctrination in public schools?
Something the Nazis were kind of known for, and the AFD is the only one with any amount of platform. Now, it's modest compared to American standards, but at least it's there. They say, we want to end the banning of homeschooling.
Homeschool is banned in Germany?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you cannot homeschool. We have immigrants from Germany in the United States as political asylum seekers because they want to homeschool their kids.
No shit.
Yes.
That's wild.
That is wild. What about freedom of speech in academia?
AFD is the only one concerned about wokeism and the spread of a toxic ideology that possesses young people and convinces them to bodily mutilate themselves.
Jeez. Yee! regulation and state control over industry?
They're a deregulation party. Now, I do want to say that compared to American standards, again, they're relatively light. But, I mean, they want to end the CO2 tax. If we were as far down the road of socialism that they are, these would be very reasonable steps that I think any Republican or Libertarian would easily cite as this is damaging to industry in our economy and our ability to make stuff. We should get rid of those first.
And which one has a foreign policy defined by a more expansive and conflict-driven approach?
The CDU and the Traffic Light Coalition. They're the ones who have been pushing, who have been going along with NATO expansion all this time. They're the ones who have caused this conflict in Ukraine by incrementally pushing NATO closer to Russia's borders, not responding to any of the very understandably concerned voices from Russia saying, hey, this is the thickest of red lines. Do not do this. They're the ones that have that basically said, we're going to fight to the very last Ukrainian. You know, like, they're those people.
Yeah.
Not AFD, who is saying, why can't we have peace with Russia? This is ridiculous. There's no reason for this. They want to turn back on the natural gas pipelines and create peace. Right? Who has an expansionist foreign policy? NATO. And the people who support NATO and the EU is the Traffic Light Coalition, not the AFD. They're skeptics of those things. Hence, because it's the only peace position.
Yeah. And hence the reason that they're so heavily, interrupted and sort of like blockaded by this media apparatus that's trying to marginalize them.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, calling them far right. And that only means one thing in Germany. It means Nazi. So it's another euphemism.
Yeah.
And just like they did on Donald Trump, it had purchase for a long time, but it's losing purchase. They're gaining ground. I suspect that they're, and on top of that, all the other political parties, including the CDU, who are the closest to, that they supposedly share the most in common with their platforms, won't work with them. Because foreign policy is more important than that.
Wow.
More important than all the domestic policy, all the other things we're having with migrants, everything else. The CDU would rather work with the communists.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild. So I recall in your bingo card, you said that AFD would have a sweeping win, mm-hmm, in this election season in Germany, but would fail to put together a functioning government. Can, mm-hmm, you describe what that is, why that would happen?
So in a parliamentary system like they have, and I don't know all the ins and outs, I'm still learning, but they have to get a majority in a coalition to form a government, the same way they do in the UK and other parliaments. They don't have first past the post, so they don't have that insanity. But with that, I suspect they will get a huge amount for the size of their party, even in the last election cycle, but they're not going to get enough for the coalition because no one else is going to work with them. Now, I might be wrong about that, and I'm going to be happy when I'm wrong about that. because it does look like there's some cracks in various different parliamentary members saying, well, they're right about this, and seeing the headwinds and seeing where they're going.
Mm-hmm. So, and seeing what just happened in the United States too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for the America First people who might be thinking, okay, you guys are, you know, Americans and you're doing a podcast about generally American politics. We do cover the world. Why should Americans, particularly the America First MAGA type, care about what happens in Germany?
You're a part of something far larger than you realize. And if we can become conscious of that, I think we'll be a better able, especially on the internet, because we're connected, because we can immediately translate what other people are saying. We can engage in ways that are helpful for each other and help build this thing that's arising into something that's effective and useful for a more peaceful, prosperous world. That's what I want to see. The reason why they want to get out of the EU, the same reason why the UK did, is because they're under the oppression of Brussels and a bunch of bureaucrats. They don't care about the everyday person. There's millions of people trapped in that. And Americans can formulate an opinion on this and then speak on the internet about this, and it can change the dynamic. And especially calling out the media blockade on this. Like, if you look at the German state-sponsored like stuff on this, which is really the only media that I was able to find speaking in English about what's going on in Germany, it is so tilted. They define them as far right. They never let them speak for themselves. They constantly do the same thing they do in the United States, where they speak for the opposition and frame everything in terms of the conclusion that they've already made about them.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a worse uphill battle than we had in America. So sympathy for them, and you know, reaching out to help in any way that you can, but via your speech, I think is important.
Do you expect that Trump would ever come out and support them in this way?
That'd be awesome. That'd be a big deal.
Because I mean, he and Boris Johnson were kind of buddy buddy there for a little bit, weren't they? Like during the Brexit era, there was, you know, at least like there seemed to be sort of a congruency with what was happening in Britain and the United States at that time. And it seems like this election and this movement coming on the heels of Trump's landslide victory in the United States carries a lot of the same parallel momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And it could trickle over.
And still very friendly with Nigel Farage, who was there for Election Day. And, you know, they've had their beefs and stuff like that between Elon and Farage and all that kind of stuff. And that's less important to me than the overall picture of what's practical. AFD gets in and pulls out of Brexit and Donald Trump, or pulls out of the EU, and Donald Trump signs a free trade agreement with Germany. That would be a huge win for everybody involved. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, the potential there is enormous. And there's no reason not to other than, you know, I mean, there are probably reasons not to. There's probably reasons that make it complicated. But I'm just saying that there's tremendous opportunity for more people to be pushing for peace in Ukraine, for more people to be prosperous and trade with one another in mutually beneficial ways. And that's a good thing. And we should encourage that. And especially when anytime you see anyone in the world reaching out for liberation, why wouldn't you support it?
It sounds like Germany needs some freedom.
Yeah, exactly.
On that note, I think we will wrap up there unless you got any final thoughts.
Well, if you haven't joined the Discord, you should. Because
absolutely.
One of the pieces of the news that we wanted to cover but we couldn't, but we ran out of time, was that the Trump administration has acknowledged that the New Jersey drones that we reported on last month were actually sanctioned by the FAA. FAA. Yeah.
And they were flying for quote unquote research purposes, meaning you were the experiment. Once again, congratulations, America. Our government loves us and wants us to be happy.
Come at me, bro.
On that note, thank you so much for watching. This is Human Reaction for David Rand, Bennett, and our absent friend Kyle. I'm Joe Sheehan. We'll see you in the next one in the Discord.
Thanks for tuning in to Human Reaction. Please be sure to like, follow, subscribe, and give us a review on your podcast platform of choice. And if you want to become a member and support the show financially, check out humanreactionpod.com. And remember...
Sorry, Elon. Or sorry, Bennett.
It's the nicest thing you've ever
said
there,
guys.
I think he just called me a Nazi.